MichaelJosephson.com.
Michael Josephson is a former lawyer, graduated from UCLA and became a lawyer, and then eventually went on to write numerous books and developed this Institute of Ethics. And here's the quote that he says, which is pretty good. One key to success is demanding more than adequacy, never settling for good enough, and always doing a little bit more. One key to success is demanding more than adequacy, never settling for good enough, and always doing a little bit more. Now, I think the thing I like best about this quote is that he mentions that there's one key to success and then lists three things. And he's writing about not settling for good enough, always doing a little bit more. Fairly ironic, isn't it? But I think it illustrates the point perfectly. One key, he gives you three. Goes over above and beyond. Now, the goal today isn't to pump you with positive self-help tips. That's not what we're here for. But I think these quotes have a similar idea behind what Paul is getting at in the passage we're going to be focusing on for the next couple of weeks. Because ultimately, what we should be chasing after in life, well, it's ultimately the only thing that matters, right? Jesus. And we don't want to be settling for anything less than that. And we're going to be exploring a couple of verses in Philippians pretty much in depth in this sort of mini-series within the Philippians series that we're calling, that I'm calling this little mini-series, High Calling. Now, last week I mentioned we are going to do this mini-series within a series. And I won't point any individuals out, but I know there's a little bit of chuckling going on in the audience, right? And I get it. I understand why, because for those who maybe haven't been around that long, I have this tendency to start a series and say it's going to be 6 weeks, and then, you know, 19 weeks later, you know, we're trying to wrap it up. I get it. I get the chuckling. But I do want to say this. In fact, that already happened once earlier in this series, right? We had to stretch it out and adjust the schedule. So, again, I get that. But I will say this. This little mini-series that we're embarking into, this High Calling, these few verses that we're going to be diving deeply into, this is originally where I wanted to go. Like, these couple of weeks were really what the focus was going to be on, and instead we decided to venture into studying through the entire book of Philippians. So I'm pretty excited about these next couple of weeks. Now, I believe that every one of us here, we're here because we want our lives to be focused more around Jesus, right? We know we should be putting him first in everything. We know that. But so often we end up getting off track, right? Or maybe we get just spiritually tired and, you know, worn out. I mean, I know for me, I'm a little worn out. You know, I shared this last week in our men's group, which, by the way, our men's group is awesome. So, you know, as I'm sure the ladies' group is awesome as well, but, you know, I don't know because I wasn't there. But our men's group is awesome, but it shared in our small group of guys this last week that, you know, the greatest desire right now for me is just to kind of reconnect with God. Like, not that I'm not spending time with him or whatever, but feels in a lot of ways like I'm running on fumes. And I know that that's true for a lot of us. And in a lot of different seasons in life, we kind of feel that way. I don't think that's what God wants for us. I don't believe that's what he wants for me. I don't believe it's what he wants for you. But over the next couple of weeks, as we dive into these verses a little bit more in depth, I think what we're looking at about this idea of having a high calling is about us as followers of Jesus fully pursuing him. And it involves that kind of reconnection with him. So we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. If you want to follow along in your text, feel free to do that, but we're going to hear those verses at this time.
But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead.
All right, let's pray together as we dive in. Father God, this morning I pray that you would be speaking to our hearts about what we need to hear from you. And for those of us who might be in that place of tiredness or fatigue or just wanting to reconnect with you, we pray you draw us back and that it would begin this morning as we look at the high calling we have and in this specific aspect this morning. We pray that you would be very near and present to us as you have been through this time of worship. Pray that you would do that now as we look at your words and help us to keep open hearts and an open mind and an open spirit to what it is you have to say as you speak to us. In the name of Christ, pray. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 7 and 8. A little bit of a recap from last week, but Paul writes, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. So last week we looked at how Paul had quite a few different things that he could put confidence in the sense of in the flesh, in other words, his own works, his own accomplishments. He had a pretty impressive list. And if we were to make a list of all the good things we might have in life, it might turn out to be somewhat impressive, but most likely wouldn't even come close to what Paul had accomplished. And he actually kind of bragged about that because he knew that in every sense, he had an incredible list of earthly, fleshly things that he could accumulate. But he said everything on that list that he considered good or important or beneficial, everything that he saw as an advantage to him, he now counts as a loss. We get to the next three verses. And these verses, I think, they're a barrage of realities for us that have such deep implications about what we have when we seek and pursue Christ or look to gain Christ, like Paul is talking about. And this is where our high calling comes in. So Philippians 3, picking it up in verse 8 through 11, he says, that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's a lot of things. We're going to break that down a little bit. So what is this high calling? How does this kind of flesh out? Well, four things that I think we should be pursuing as followers of Jesus that we see in these verses. And the first one, the first one is holiness, okay? The first one is holiness. And we see that in verses 8 and 9 as he's talking about them there. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Now, calling it holiness, here he uses the word righteousness. I'm kind of using them a little interchangeably for the sake of the flow here. But righteousness is the beginning of holiness, right? So, and we'll kind of get to that. And it's rooted in putting our faith and trust in Jesus. So holiness is the first part. The second aspect is intimacy. We've got holiness, intimacy. And that we hear about in verse 10. Paul talks about knowing Jesus and experiencing the power of the resurrection in his life, right? That I may know him in the power of the resurrection. So that's about an intimacy with Jesus. The third thing is godliness. And that's the second part of verse 10 where he says that he may, Let me share in Christ's sufferings, becoming like him in his death. This is a crazy thing that the disciples, the apostles, they actually believed that they would somehow know Jesus better because they experienced suffering just like Jesus did. So they would understand him. They would get him even better because of their sufferings. And in going through those things, they demonstrate a godly living, a godly life, even to the very extreme. All right. So the third thing is godliness. And the fourth thing is hope. It's hope. That in the end of it all, there's this incredible thing waiting for Paul and for us. And in the meantime, we want to be doing anything we can to attain it, to get there. Paul says he pursues it by any means possible, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Right? That's the source of hope for us. So we've got holiness, intimacy, godliness, and hope. And these are the four aspects we'll be looking at over these next couple of weeks. Today, we just want to spend a few minutes focusing in on holiness. Holiness, we have a lot of words to describe who God is. We talk about how he's perfect, and he's pure, and he's sinless, and he's good, and he's right, and he's just, and he's loving, and he's kind, and he's compassionate, and he's merciful. But all of those things that we use to describe God, which are true of him, they flow from the main thing that God is, and that is holy. He's holy. Okay, and what it means for God to be called holy, generally as we're looking at this in the scriptures, for God to be called holy, it means to be separate. It means to be altogether other with no equal or rival. And it means to be absolutely perfect. Right? In other words, to say God is holy means there is no one or nothing else like him. Now, in the scriptures, God is often described or worshipped with the words holy, holy, holy. Like the words are mentioned three times to emphasize how perfectly and truly other and separate and perfect he is. And when we say God is holy, though, it also means that every character aspect that we talk about God, it flows from that holiness. So when we describe God's love and his mercy and his knowledge, what we need to remember is that God's love and mercy and knowledge is not like our love and our mercy and our knowledge. It's not the same. It's holy. See, people can show love, but only God can show a holy love. His love is holy. People can show mercy, but God's mercy is a holy mercy. People can have knowledge or wisdom, but God's knowledge and wisdom is holy knowledge and wisdom. It's separate. It's altogether other, no equal, no rival. It's absolutely perfect. Okay, so every quality he possesses is holy. So that's when we talk about God. Now, God tells people at least 10 times in Scripture, be holy, for I am holy. And I look at that definition of holiness for what God is, and I go, there's no way. Right? Like, we can't do that. How can we do that? And we can't. We really can't. So what does he mean by this? Be holy, for I am holy. Well, for a person to be holy, it looks a little different. For a person to be holy, it means to be set apart. We can't be separate like God, but we can be set apart from that world around us. It means to be distinct. And it means to be morally or spiritually excellent. Are we ever going to be absolutely perfect? No. But we can be morally or spiritually excellent. Excellent. And then in doing those things, we reflect God's holiness, right? When we keep ourselves separate or apart from the world and its ways, the things that are in conflict with what God says is right, when we live lives that are distinct among the people around us because we're following the Lord, when we strive to be morally, spiritually excellent, according to God's standards, not our own ideas, not the world's ways, but according to His Word and His standards. Well, that's what it means for us to be holy like God. So that's the idea of holiness for us. Now, all that being said, I realize Paul actually never uses the word holy here. He uses the word righteous, right? Righteousness. And I'm using these terms a little bit interchangeably because that righteousness that we receive is the first step for us toward holiness, okay? Now, righteousness, understanding a little bit of the difference, righteousness is a state of position. It's about our position in Christ. And here's what happens. We are all automatically, because of sin, we are all automatically enemies of God. It puts a, we're at odds with Him, right? We are enemies of God, enemies of the cross, enemies of Christ. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's the reality of what Scripture says. Until or unless we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And then when we do that, when we come to be a follower of Jesus, we get a new state of position with God. We are declared righteous. We're declared to be in right standing with God. Now, that doesn't mean we won't ever mess up, right? But despite our sin and despite our failure, He declares us righteous anyway because of what Jesus has done. So righteousness is a state of position, but I am declared righteous through faith in Christ. I am declared that by God. Now, holiness is a little different because it's a state of character. For us, it's a state of character. It's not something I automatically am or am declared to be holy. It's something I become. Right? So it starts with righteousness, being declared right with God through faith, but then we embark on this process of becoming more and more like Jesus. He calls us to be set apart from the world around us. He calls us to be morally and spiritually excellent, and we grow in that more and more as we pursue and follow Jesus. So we would say this is a state of character, and I am becoming holy as I pursue Christ. I am becoming holy. I'm becoming set apart. I'm becoming distinct. I'm becoming morally and spiritually excellent as I pursue Christ. Okay? So specifically here, Paul mentions that we are declared righteous through our faith in Christ, but we are also called to holiness. And here's kind of our last point we're moving towards here. The righteousness, which Paul talks about here, is the beginning of holiness. Okay? The righteousness is the beginning of holiness. We're declared right when we put our faith and trust in Christ, but that's the beginning of holiness, becoming set apart and distinct. And Paul wants to make sure that we understand that righteousness and therefore that holiness ultimately is not based on our good works. It's not based on what we do. It is through faith. So verse 8, he continues, he says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Okay? So the law, following the rules, following the regulations, doing good things, doing all these good works, can't gain for us right standing with God because we all fall horribly short of God's perfect standards. That's what sin is. Only Jesus was able to accomplish this, and only through faith in Jesus can we be made right with God. So righteousness is the beginning of holiness, but neither is possible apart from Jesus. Right? Neither is possible apart from Jesus. Now, I know I've said this many times before, so you may have heard much of today's message many times before, but we don't get righteous automatically. We don't get righteousness automatically just because Jesus died on the cross for our sin. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for sin once and for all. Nothing else is going to take care of that sin problem that we have. But Jesus' death and resurrection is not a blanket act that covers everybody automatically. It's the gift he's given us that we need to receive for ourselves. And so that's where Paul says in the last part of verse 8, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That depends on faith. We need to respond to the gospel. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus personally. That's the step we need to take. Individually, that's the step we need to take. Our faith is what gives us that right standing with God. If we don't put our faith and trust in Him, then we don't get that righteousness. And if we don't start with that righteousness, we can't become holy. We're stuck having fallen short of God's perfection. That's where we get stuck. But by faith, we're declared righteous through Jesus. See, our high calling here, starting with holiness, it's so dependent on the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. Right? Without what he's done, we have nothing to put our faith in. Without our faith, we can't be declared righteous. And without righteousness, we can never start down that path towards holiness. And so ultimately, it all comes back to Jesus, right? It all comes back to Jesus. And that's where Paul starts, that I may gain Christ. Everything else, I count it as loss. I count it as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And I think for us as followers of Jesus, is we've got to come back to that time and time again. Right, we have to come back to remembering that it is ultimately all about what Jesus did for us time and time again. We need to be reminded of that. So this morning, we are going to share in communion together. We're going to share in communion together. And as we do that, it's this reminder of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. But And everyone is invited to participate, by the way. You don't have to go through any special membership hoops or anything like that here at Portico. Everyone is welcome to participate. We understand that taking communion, that's not what makes us right with God. It's a symbol. It's an act that we do that expresses that faith and belief that we have in what Jesus did on the cross. And it helps us remember him. It calls us back to Jesus. And so that's what we are doing this morning, because our high calling begins there. Holiness starts with coming back to Jesus. So you're invited to come and participate in communion. I'm going to pray for us. I would invite you to come and take a piece of bread and a cup of juice. Take them back to your seat. We'll pray together after everyone has received the elements, and we'll sing this song of worship as you're coming. So if you want to take a moment before you come, please do that. Take a moment before God to just lay your heart before him and remind yourself, because I need to remind myself that it's ultimately about coming back to Jesus. Okay, let's pray. God, you are an incredibly holy God. You are altogether different. There is no one like you. There's no one who would ever extend his love in a way that you have by offering your son on the cross to die for our sin. There's no one who is perfect like you are, absolutely perfect. Most of all, each one of us. We recognize that in ourselves, and we know we need Jesus. We can't begin to talk about holiness or righteousness unless we're coming back to Jesus, because he's what it's all about. So this morning, once again, we lay our hearts before you that we may gain Christ. We understand that you are also extending to us this invitation for anyone here who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus. this morning we can do that by simply saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you. We know that you hear that prayer. You hear what's stirring in our heart. And so in this time, as we come together for communion, to remember you, Jesus, and what you did on the cross, we come back to you once again. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.